Something about His presence that makes things go away. And if you stay long enough in that presence, they'll go away and they'll fix themselves. Not themselves fixing them, but God gets involved in them. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, the most ingenious thing that God ever did, number one, the first work of grace, was when you and I got born again. He couldn't reform us, because you can't reform something that can't be reformed. That's what the world's project is. They try to reform things. You can't take a lion, and you can't take the wild out of that lion, because it has a nature to hunt. It has a nature to eat meat. It has a nature to pursue its prey. You can't reform it. Even the lion and tiger trainers tell you, you can train them, but you can't ever change what they are, so you always have to respect them. For 4,000 years, God proved in the Old Testament that you can't reform people. You can't reform them. Because no matter what kind of law you put them under, even if you tell them, I'm going to kill you if you do that, their nature is they'll still do it, hoping that you didn't mean what you said you'd mean. And a lot of times people talk to me, they'll say, why did God do that in the Old Testament? And I just tell them, well, that's God in all essence, I can tell you, without having to go into it a lot. He really, the God of all character, who is immutable, that cannot change, He didn't act outside of Himself as in darkness, but He really acted outside of His character in the Old Testament. That's not His M.O. That's not His mode of operation. He doesn't like to kill people. He doesn't like to do those kinds of things. He doesn't kill, steal, and destroy. The enemy does that. But He had to treat the Old Testament people different, because He was trying to continually prove to the world, people cannot be reformed. Well, what's the answer? You can't be reformed, but you can be born all over again. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he has become a new, the Greek says, species. Means the internal part of you becomes a new human being. That spirit person becomes totally, totally. If any man be in Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. Doesn't mean old habits, old kinds of this and old kinds of that. It means the moment that you get born again, if you sincerely ask Christ into your life, you become that person on the inside. Dies, two things happen at once. There's a death that takes place, and there's a birth. And it's a whole new creature. And that new creature doesn't have to be reformed. All it has to do is to be taught and nurtured and edified, and it'll live out its life in the life of God. Hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, that's why a lot of the church world can't understand why people just keep doing mean and ugly things. And a lot of them just simply haven't been born again. It's just that simple. They've went through the church reformation. They understand things like AA, where it says, well, I'm this way and I'll always be this way. Listen, they've helped a lot of people. But I'm only bringing that up to tell you, here's the contrast. When you get born again, you're no longer a sinner saved by grace. Well, I'm a sinner saved by grace. No. You can only be one or the other. Either you're a sinner or you're saved by grace. And if you get saved by grace, then you become a new species. Now, you can be born again, and the devil comes and tries to convince you that you don't have the power to overcome him. And that's where another part of the church world is. They think that the flesh has more power than them. And then the second genius of God, the second work of grace, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, comes into play for you and I. Because if we'll allow this genius, who is none other than God Himself, to pray for us. Do you know how miraculous this was? Even before there was this, there was the first thing that was introduced to you by the apostles and by the Holy Spirit Himself after the born-again experience, the second work of grace is, will you be baptized in the Holy Ghost? And if you will, here He comes. He steps into that Spirit that's already a new creature, and He's got some luggage with Him. He's got a carrying case. What is that, Holy Spirit? Well, it's the gift. What kind of gift? It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm the Holy Spirit, and I got a gift here with me. What is it? Well, would you like to see? Yes, I would. Let me unsnap this, open it up. What's in there? Oh, it's a prayer language. My one job is to come and take this prayer language, and I can feed it through your Spirit. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's called the gift of the Spirit. Yes, somebody said, well, He's a gift. No, He is a person, but He has a gift with Him. The gift of the Spirit is praying in other tongues. And if you'll allow Him to, He'll pray all day for you, and He'll work things out for you. And it's an inexhaustible language. It can't run out. And he can pray all day. I have never yet, at my longest intervals, my marathon runs in the Spirit, I've never been laying there praying in tongues and all of a sudden start to stutter and say, God, why? Where's the next word? And hear God say, the Holy Spirit's run out of words, son. He's on a break. He'll pray for you continually. Well, what happens in the prayer? Glad you ask. Because we got a couple of minutes, and then we're going to fellowship a little bit. But you need to be reminded of how wonderful the things of God are that have been given to us. You got just a minute? Look at Isaiah chapter 28. Hallelujah. That's in the Old Testament for you that's stuck in the New. What page? 643 on mine. Now look, this is an Old Testament prophecy of the New Testament, new nature, and the second work of grace, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And look at it, verse 9 with me. Now he asked a question. He asked this to Israel, but he's asking it to the church, or he's teaching it rather to the church. And we're looking back outside of the shadow and looking into the shadow, and it's telling us of a day that which we will live in, and we're living in it right now. And it says, he asked this question, whom shall he teach knowledge? Well, how many of you would say, God, I want your knowledge? Well, where does true knowledge come from? One place, God, and he speaks only through one avenue, and that's his word. That's where he teaches us, is through his word. Verse 9, chapter 28, whom shall he teach knowledge? And the other question is, whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Everybody say doctrine. Now, one thing I want you to see right here real quickly, we only got a few minutes tonight, or only take a little bit. I want you to notice how close assimilated that sound doctrine and praying in tongues are to each other. Glory be to God. Paul spelled it out in 1 Corinthians 14. He let us know that the source of his revelation knowledge was praying in tongues. And we've got Old Testament proof. Bread and butter, or jam and or jelly and peanut butter. I mean, whatever you want to say go together, you can say this. Praying in tongues and sound doctrine go hand in hand together. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the writer of this word. And the communication process by which the Holy Spirit wants to run revelation knowledge through you. Listen, you won't even know what it is. You might not be able to read real good. You might not be able to understand the word real good. Eventually you will if you keep praying in tongues. The Holy Spirit says, okay, will you accept Jesus as your Savior? You say, yes, I will. Good, you're born again. First work of grace. Second work. Would you like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What does that mean? That means He'll come on you, engulf you, fill your spirit up, and step in with that piece of luggage and open it and say, here's this prayer language, and you get to pray all you want to. And when you're praying, it will fix you. How will it fix you? because it'll help you to begin to understand sound doctrine. You know what sound doctrine is? It's right ways of thinking. It'll fix your thinking. It'll fix the way you think. It'll fix the way you think about God, others, yourself. Even if you don't understand what it is about you that is not working, even if you're opposing yourself and you don't know what it is about yourself that's making you like you are, if you keep praying the mysteries, God will bring the revelation to you, to your understanding, and you'll understand what it is that He wants fixed about you. But He doesn't leave you there. He doesn't just show you what needs to be fixed. He also empowers you to get it fixed. He's the one that's fixing it. It's a win-win situation. Hallelujah. Look what He says here. Whom shall He teach knowledge? What kind of knowledge? Any kind of knowledge of life, anything that you need to win in. And whom shall He make to understand doctrine? Second question. Well, I hope that's me. First of all, He says it's them that's weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. Because what He's saying here is this. He's saying babies who think like adolescent infants, who never grow up, they're always on the milk, they're always on the breast, and they have this opportunity in their life to always stay fretful. You know, a baby, until it's weaned, gets to a point where if they're not nurtured at a certain time, or if they're not fed at a certain time, their way of communication is crying. Their language is to cry out. But He's saying, look, I want to bring you to a peaceful place. Because the analogy of the baby that's crying in the crib is a fitful, unrestful, uneventful kind of person who's not allowing the Holy Spirit to be in charge of their life. But He asks us the question, do you want knowledge? Yes. Do you want understanding? Yes. Do you want sound doctrine? What's that? Where I can preach the Word? Oh, no, you understand the mysteries that'll help your life. You'll understand those mysteries. Well, He's saying it doesn't belong to those that are on milk like babies. Well, then who does it belong to? He says, for precept, and this is how the Holy Spirit works. A precept is an understanding. An understanding must be upon an understanding. A precept upon a precept, line upon line. Little here and a little there. What's He saying? The more you pray the mysteries, even if you don't have a lightning quick mind, He guarantees you it'll come to you. He guarantees you that if you'll see, this is why it's so important. The staple, I mean, your mainstay along with the Word of God ought to be that you continually walk around praying in tongues. Why? Because while you're doing that, you're allowing, there's only really one medium of exchange that the Holy Spirit can get mysteries over to you besides for the Word of God. And it's a check and balance. Even if you read the Word of God without the Holy Spirit putting the mysteries through you, you can't even trust your revelation. Here's the check and balance. Pray in tongues and read the Word. But if you can't read the Word, pray in tongues, because still the mysteries are going through your spirit. And whatever you need to get fixed on, it'll eventually dawn on your lightning quick mind, if it's not so quick, line on line. What does that mean? He said, here a little, there a little. He'll sneak it in somehow. He'll get it past your carnal thinking. Well, I think this is what, you know, most people think they know what needs to happen to get them fixed. They really do. We are the worst. They say a person trying to diagnose themselves is the worst person, is their worst kind of a doctor. You can't be your own doctor. You can't be your own attorney. I have a doctor and I have an attorney. His name is Jesus. And when I don't know what it is that needs to be fixed about me, He really doesn't even want me trying to figure it out. Whatever it is that's trying to take my peace or my health or whatever, my security, I can just begin to pray these mysteries day after day, week after week, spending those times. I'll tell you, I enjoy it so much. It, as I said, it needs to be such a staple in your life. I can't think of hardly anything that you're doing during your day that if you develop this this exercise in your life, which we all know around here, that praying in tongues is not something that comes from here, but it comes from the heart. And if you bypass this by praying this real soft, there's hardly a task in your life. There's hardly a business task. There's hardly anything, because it doesn't divert from this. You could actually, if you were a brain surgeon, you could operate on somebody's brain and keep praying in the Holy Spirit, and it would not divert your brain power. Because it doesn't come from here. It comes from here. All you got to do is turn this tongue loose and let it go. Just let it go. And He promises you that it'll fix. Why? Because it is hand in hand with sound doctrine, and that's right way of thinking. Eventually, He'll get... See, listen. You got to know this. And say, well, how do you know? I can tell you because of the Word of God. I can prophesy this. Nobody, from the beginning of when this was poured out 2,000 years ago, nobody that ever prayed the mysteries on a continual basis, I mean just exercised it all day long, especially in a trial, nobody ever lost their mind. It's diametrically opposed. It's impossible. You can't pray the mysteries of peace that it won't fix whatever it is about you, even if you don't know what it is about you. It's impossible. Nobody that ever prayed the mysteries, you say, boy, He's attacked my mind. Just keep praying in tongues. Because you'll pray yourself. Nobody ever. Christy told me there's a pastor he knows personally, not hearsay. He knows him personally. Spent time in his home. Got a big mansion now. Got several businesses going. He's a genius, but he also pastors. He's in a sane asylum. In a sane asylum. Mind locked up. Somehow somebody got him saved or something. But somehow, just by accident, you'd think, he realized he felt better by praying in this language. Do you know, without doctors helping him, he kept walking around that asylum until he prayed himself totally into deliverance. And he walked out of there on his own. And now he's a genius. He's running. I mean, it's years later. His mind's healed. Listen, it's totally diametrically opposed. Peace and praying in tongues and pressure, they can't stay in the same house. If you'll just sit there, drive there, work there, glory be to God. He wants me to remind you of this good staple. For precept must be upon... This is how He gets it over to you. And how do you know this is tongues, Pastor? For He says, with stammering lips, in another tongue will I speak to this people. And He said, to whom He said... Now, Israel rejected this, but that's not us. That's it's born again and filled with the Spirit. This is what He prophesied concerning those stammering lips. He said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Hallelujah to God. There's something, two things we found out here. One, that stammering lips and good doctrine go hand in hand. Isn't that amazing? That stammering lips, praying in other tongues, and sound doctrine, knowing the mind of God. You say, well, show me chapter and verse. I'm not sure where it's at, but I can tell you what you're telling me is not right. Why? Because I've been walking around fishing all day. I've been working all day someplace in the garden, fixing a car, doing this. So soft that nobody even knew I was doing it. And somehow I just know. I just know where he wants me to go tonight and where he wants me to go tomorrow. And you know what? What I thought was my problem, I'm realizing it was something else. But that doesn't matter anymore, because I'm feeling better and better and better. Why? Because he gets into those places, and he gets in where you can't get into. And He'll make you feel so good about locked doors that you'll open them up to Him wide and say, come on in here. And you won't even believe it about yourself. You'll say, I didn't do that. I didn't open up that door. I've never been able to discuss that with anybody. And the Holy Spirit says, oh, yeah, I've been picking the lock on that thing every day while you've been uttering the mysteries. I've been working to get in there. And now I'm on the inside and it feels so good. You say, oh, this feels like velvet. I don't want to go out of here. That's all right. You don't have to. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Psalms 131. It's one of those long chapters. Three verses. Real simple, but I like simple things. Hallelujah, because the Holy Spirit's not difficult. Look what He said. Same thing He said in Isaiah. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Well, what is something too high or too great for me? Let's see. Did my 2 hours of trying to figure this out solve it? After I've thought about this thing and stayed up for about 3 hours past my bedtime, did it get it done? Did it solve it? Is it over now? Oh, no, it's still like it was. We need to fix it. Well, it's too high for you, isn't it? Because if all your brainstorming would have fixed it, it had gone away. Well, then what is the remedy? Well, somehow I need to get quiet on this issue, don't I? Because when I get quiet, He takes over. What did He say in Isaiah? This is the rest. In other words, this is the way. Ring, ring, hello. There's a phone going off here. Where is it? It's the Clue phone over here. Answer it. Hello, Clue phone. What were you saying in Isaiah? This is the refreshing you cause the weary to rest in. You mean I can rest and I can turn this over to you by how? By stammering lips and other tongues. Well, I cause the weary to rest. And even if you're going to worry, even if you say, well, I can't stop. It's a machine turned on and I can't stop it. At least compensate it by sitting there and praying in tongues while you're worrying. Because eventually, you won't worry. They're diametrically opposed. Just like sin and praying in tongues is diametrically opposed. Sometimes we say, well, He'll get rid of the things that you don't like. It's a bigger thing for Him to get rid of the things that you do like. You know, I know this is causing me some pain and maybe some other people some pain, but I kind of like it. But you know what? I'd really like peace. Sometimes it's a trade-off of, do you like peace more than the pain? Okay, I do. Well, how do I fix myself? You can't. But He can. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues a lot. Pray in tongues a lot, a lot. How much would you say, get in such a habit that it's your whole day? Your whole day. And as I said, it doesn't take away from here. If you develop it, you could be a brain surgeon and pull out a brain spur from somebody's left lobe and pray in tongues at the same time. And it would never cause them to act idiot after you got done with them. In fact, my best concentration usually is when I'm praying in tongues. Sometimes I ain't got a lot going for me otherwise. I have to trade somebody's sufficiency. Lord, my heart is not haughty. Well, what's a haughty heart? Well, I think I'm somebody. No. It's when you take your evidence higher than His. Well, I'm going to worry about this. Well, listen. Okay, if you're a good worry wart, then at least compensate it by worry all you want to. Give you a license to worry, but pray in tongues while you're worrying. Because you can think and pray in tongues at the same time. Eventually, you'll about sometime, if it's today or tomorrow, in between your worrying, you'll be just, oh, that ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen like I thought it was going to happen. Ooh, man, that was a good thought. And you'll think after a while, what's my happy thoughts here? Did somebody slip me a drug here or something? I don't feel as bad about this thing. And then after a while, you'll get a little guilty. You'll start feeling like, man, pinch myself. I'm supposed to be worrying. Why ain't I worrying? I'm getting hard-hearted. That's what it is. I'm getting hard-hearted. I don't care about people. If I cared about them, I would be worrying. And then you'll start getting a little giddy because you'll get reports back from heaven. That's when you hopefully you're by yourself because people think, well. And you just say, well, you know, they're coming to get you. Ha-ha. They're coming to get you. Ha-ha. Hallelujah. Surely I have behaved. Listen to what he said. Now this is what will happen to you as Isaiah's prophecy starts kicking in. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of its mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. The soul is your mind. It's your mind. And he's saying there is a place in God where your mind can get quiet. Where your soul can get quiet. Where it gets real restful. That baby's cried enough. And after when it finally figures out, Mama ain't going to give you no more. That's it. No. There's only one way to convince the soul. After a while, the soul has to get real quiet for God to begin to speak. And there's only one way to get the soul quiet, and that's for the spirit to take dominance over it. And the spirit will just wear it out. It'll just wear that soul out, especially if the soul's real fretful. Now, you gave me a real good verse of scripture when you came back Monday morning. That was in Psalms 94. I love that scripture. You can turn there. This is what happens. This is what will happen to you as you're praying in tongues. Look at Psalms 94. Well, you can begin in verse 17. It says, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelled in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercies, O Lord, held me up. Now look at this. This is the scripture I wanted. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Hallelujah. There's a way that the Holy Ghost will put his fingers inside of your thoughts. He'll internet with your thoughts. Sometimes you won't know when he starts and you stop, but you'll feel the comfort. And after a while, you'll get smarter than yourself and you'll start thinking, that was a good idea. No, really, when your thoughts get clear. And I remember when I first started coming over here about 10 years ago, when we just got this building, and my thoughts were going haywire. And I remember what Dave said. He said, just when they're going, just keep on. You can't even shut them off. But if you'll just keep praying in tongues, after a while, the Holy Ghost will get inside your own thoughts and he'll start directing them. And he'll start solving things. And you'll have like 10 different irons in the fire and you're just worried about everything. But he'll just come over here and he'll get this one and he'll take it to the end of it and you'll say, oh man, I never thought of that before. That'll work. Because he knows you're not developed enough to just shut it all off, so he'll go and he'll just start solving them all. He'll just start solving them all. But the main thing you got to do is you can't stop praying in tongues. The trick is, if your mind shuts this off, then you're kind of just a ship just floating on the sea there. There's not much of a way for him to get something over to you. But thank God for praying in other tongues. Glory be to God. Amen. Aren't you glad that in this life, I mean, thank God for the born again spirit, but what if you just thought that was all? Man, there's just another vein out there of glory that he offers to us. What do you think, Pastor, that there is outside of this that this can't fix? Do you think this is a fix-all? You got it. You got it. You come to the top of the class, whoever said that. Do you think this fix everything? Oh, yeah, if you just keep praying the mysteries, I don't care what it is about you that needs to be fixed. Because He'll eventually, if you've got wrong believing, He'll direct you in this Word, or He'll get you down the street to somebody that'll show you what needs. If you don't like yourself, He'll teach you to like, love yourself the right way. If there's a part of you that wants to sin, He'll pull that out of you. What is it that this won't help? I hadn't found anything yet. I'll let you know when I do. My God, makes me want to just pray in tongues and pray in tongues and pray in tongues. Hallelujah. I like to go to sleep praying in tongues. I like to wake up praying in tongues. Glory be to God. If they accuse you of being a fanatic, just keep praying in tongues underneath your breath. Hallelujah to God. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. Yes, ma'am. But you know, here's the deal. Are you thankful like I'm thankful? We people will go to seminars and go a whole week and won't hear the wisdom that you and I are living in, what we heard tonight. Isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. Yes. You got that right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just worship You. We give You all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. What a wonderful gift. What a friend. What an immediate response to the spirit realm. Father, when we feel the world has pressured us and moved in on our space, and it seems as if we have no space, we can immediately go into the Spirit by uttering the mysteries of God. We're never, ever away from Your presence. We connect immediately in that realm through this that You've given us, this gift of the Holy Spirit. So I ask You now that all of us will all the more exercise the right that You've given us. This is a gift to be used continually. Something that You've given us, Lord, to absolutely exercise at our own will. So we ask You, Jesus, give us this faith all the more. Remind us on a daily basis to spend more and more time until it's a developed habit. This is the habit that You approve of. And so, Father, we're asking that this gets strong and stronger and stronger and stronger in us through the blood of Jesus. And we thank You for it. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.